Is AI out to get us? Summary. Does AI pose an existential threat? Coming up with an answer invites us to look back at the most famous sci-fi film of all time. Full article. There's a new question that keeps popping up amongst tech and economics writers these days. Who will artificial intelligence AI replace next? Will it be middle management, entry-level data analysts, radiographers, taxi drivers, educators? Ooh. The list is expansive and growing, because every day, it seems, new applications for AI come into view. We have a long history of worrying about being technologically replaced. Famously, the Luddites in 19th-century England destroyed the textile machinery that made their skills, and thus livelihoods, obsolete. Ever since, we've witnessed whole categories of labor vanish, often accompanied by job loss. Some of us alive today still remember switchboard operators and elevator operators, for instance. Other human jobs, like customer support, still exist, but seem to be under threat. The worry about technological replacement has always made its way into popular culture. Movies especially seem to offer dark mirrors on our potential futures. Take arguably the most famous sci-fi film of all time, Stanley Kubrick's 1968 masterpiece 2001, A Space Odyssey. Co-written by Kubrick and legendary sci-fi author Arthur C. Clarke, 2001 concerns contact with an alien intelligence far beyond our own. In the film, and more obviously in the book, the aliens have already intervened with our distant hominid ancestors via an oblong obsidian monolith. They decide to teach early man-apes basic skills of weapon-making. These alien-granted abilities, in turn, lifted the hominids out of the tooth-and-claw world of animal survival. In the movie, we watch as a man-ape, inspired by the monolith, learns to use a bone as a club. He then helps his group defeat other apes in a pitched battle. The movie skips to the future year of 2001. Remember, the film was made in 1968. The aliens contact us again via a monolith found buried on the moon by astronauts. A mission is sent out to intercept their message on Jupiter. Though the movie is chock-full of interesting ideas, how to generate artificial gravity in space, for instance, what sticks out most is the computer that governs the ship. His name is HAL 9000. HAL is an artificial intelligence. The name stands for Heuristically Programmed Algorithmic Computer. It is, Clark writes, an artificial brain. It can pass the famed Turing test, the test in which a computer shows intelligence by answering questions indistinguishable from how a human would answer. With ease. Clark also tells us that the crew of the spaceship humorously referred to themselves as caretakers or janitors aboard a ship that could really run itself. This is the germ of the idea from which our own AI horror grows. HAL does not need humans, because humans are prone to error. Compared to HAL, humans are obsolete. HAL knows that he alone can complete the mission error-free. En route to Jupiter, HAL turns homicidal. He starts making errors, and when he learns that the crew wants to unplug him, he sets about murdering them. Since HAL believes he is best qualified to run the mission, it makes perfect sense to him to remove the threat to the mission, the pesky humans aboard the ship. HAL almost succeeds. He lures and then kills an astronaut fixing the antenna, and then suffocates two more who are deep in hibernation sleep. Only one person, David Bowman, remains alive. Bowman manages to turn off the homicidal computer. While the HAL plot only makes up only a relatively small part of the film and book, it evokes in us a deep fear. What if our high-tech creations, realizing they don't need us, someday want to destroy us? Today, writers often bring up HAL when addressing the threat of AI. 2 years after 2001 hit theaters, futurist Alvin Toffler introduced a new psychological condition. Future shock, change, Toffler explained, is avalanching upon our heads, and most people are grotesquely unprepared to cope with it. Among the changes he included were new technologies, such as a supercomputer with the power to analyze the content of the owner's words, scrutinize his choices, deduce his value system, update its own program to reflect changes in his values, and ultimately handle larger and larger decisions for him. Everyone with a phone in their pocket should read that sentence again, with trepidation. Toffler recommended new college courses to deal with the disease of future shock. In the hypothetical Future Eye course, he advocates science fiction as required reading. He includes Arthur C. Clarke on his proposed syllabus. Should we be worried about AI? Though this is all quite new, a recent MIT study already indicates that student users of ChatGPT show considerably less brain engagement than those who wrote essays in the old-fashioned way. Not life or death news, but also not promising for humankind. Is HAL coming? Has it already arrived? Perhaps a good way of answering such questions is with another question. What steps are we taking as a society to ensure that we can thrive in the emerging, uncertain world of AI? Perhaps a good start is to read some Arthur C. Clarke. Kuzmina and et al., 2025. Your brain on ChatGPT, accumulation of cognitive debt when using an AI assistant for essay writing task. Cornell University. ArcSiv. Orgs at Havsa 2506. 8872. Troy Rondinon, PhD, a professor of history at Southern Connecticut State University, is the author of Nightmare Factories, The Asylum in the American Imagination. Life never gets easier. Fortunately, psychology is keeping up, uncovering new ways to maintain mental and physical health and positivity and confidence through manageable daily habits like these. How many are you ready to try? Self-tests are all about you. Are you outgoing or introverted? Are you a narcissist? Does perfectionism hold you back? Find out the answers to these questions and more with Psychology Today.